Hancock House presents Flying to Extremes, Memories of a Northern Bush Pilot by Dominique Prinet, narrated by Adam Henderson. Dedication. To my wife Dominique, who not only came to Canada and joined me in Yellowknife, but flew with me on many Arctic trips, remaining graceful after our crash through the ice with a ski plane. Forward. Flying to Extremes is based on 5 years of intensive commercial flying for Gateway Aviation in bush planes, on wheels, skis, and floats from 1967 to 1971, mostly from a base in Yellowknife, Northwest Territories. I took copious notes on some of the most striking flights and published their descriptions in 15 or 20 issues of Aviasport, a French aviation magazine, between 1967 and 1972. These stories have now been translated into English and collected in this book. There was no reason to place them in chronological order, since the socioeconomic environment in the North did not change dramatically during my years of flying, and I remained with the same airline. For a while, I thought of ordering the stories by season, but there were too many flights in summer and winter, and not enough in the spring and fall, during breakup and freeze-up. I finally ordered them in a way I thought would bring a little variety. One word now on names of people and places. At the time, the Northwest Territories extended north from latitude 60 degrees north all the way to the North Pole, right across Canada, except for the fairly narrow Yukon Triangle along the BC and Alaska borders. The region is now divided into the Northwest Territories to the west, capital Yellowknife, and Nunavut to the east, capital Frobisher Bay, now Iqaluit. In Flying to Extremes, the words used to describe the indigenous people have been changed from what they were at the time as a matter of respect for their traditions and culture. Those living in the boreal forest are the First Nations, and those near the shores of the Arctic Ocean, the Inuit. However, the European names of the small northern communities have been left as they were in the 60s, although they now have reverted, rightfully so, to their traditional indigenous names. A table of name conversions for northern communities is given at the end of the book. At the time I was flying in the north, we used the old British system of measurement. I subsequently applied the metric system in the stories, since it is now the legal system in Canada. But I was advised to return to the British system for the North American edition in order to make the book more readable for senior Canadians and Americans of all ages. For the usual winter temperatures of minus 40 degrees, the units don't matter anyhow. Minus 40 degrees Fahrenheit equals minus 40 degrees Celsius. Words of a technical nature are explained in the glossary. Introduction. Life in Paris was hard during the German occupation, which lasted until 1944, and for the following 10 or 15 years. I remember walking to school in snow with my wooden clogs while the fountains were frozen. We could warm up in one room around a coal stove during the evening, but there was otherwise no heat. Food was scarce, there was sometimes no gas for cooking, and occasionally no electricity. Unfortunately, for several generations, my family, on both my father's and my mother's side, has featured prominent academicians, some of them pretty smart, and I was expected to uphold the tradition. As a result, I had to be the youngest of my class in the best French high school, in the toughest programs, which combined the full classical program of French, Latin, and Greek, plus the full science program of math, physics, and chemistry. At around age 14, I broke down and had to repeat a year. Then it was off to the dreaded college classes of Mathématiques Supérieures and Mathématiques Spéciales to prepare for the entrance test to the top French university, the École Normale Supérieure. I failed, but was admitted to a less prestigious engineering school. A degree from the École Normale opens virtually every door through
Sample complete. Ready to continue?